from Perek Beis. Akiva told me that I went through most of Perek Aleph. He told me I went through Aleph Ches, but now I started looking at Ches, Yud, you know, they all seemed, I think I did them also, maybe you weren't... I don't think I did till the very last Mishnah, but at least we did you know, almost to the last Mishnah. So I'm going to start with Perek Beis, just in case. Yisim Nikiyim. Okay. And of course, this should be viewed as a springboard for other issues and discussions, and you know, people can ask, and happy to try to respond. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second Perek of Avos that Rebbe Omer. Ezuhi derech yishara she yavar lo ha'adam kol shi teferes lo oseha v'teferes lo min ha'adam. So it's a very interesting beginning, a very ambiguous formulation. Rabbi says, what is the derech yishara, the straight way she yavar lo ha'adam, the man should select kol shi teferes lo oseha, whatever is teferes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Whatever is the magnificent blend, we'll call it, of Teferis, which brings glory, Laoseha, v'Teferis lo min adam. We're not sure exactly what Laoseha means. We'll see in a moment. The Rashi already discusses whether it refers to the Rabbonu Shel Olam or it refers to the person who is Oseh, the person who is acting himself. V'Teferis lo min adam. What is the relationship between Teferis Laoseha? Whichever of these meanings, or both of these meanings, and Teferis lo min ha'adam. Then the Mishnah continues, Ve'vizayir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura, she'ena tayodeya matan scharan shal mitzvos. And you should be careful on a mitzvah kala as you are in a chamura, because you don't know how to calculate schar mitzvos. Ve'vim mechashiv hefseid mitzvah keneged schara, schara veira keneged hefseida, v'istaka b'gimel dvarim ena tabali de'a veira, da ma'alamala mimcha ayin roev, Ozen Shamas, Koma Secha, Pesefer Nechtavim. Okay. Basically, what we have here, what seems to be three Mishnayos rather than one, we'll probably treat them as three, although undoubtedly they are connected as well. So I want to speak today a little bit about the beginning, the first part. Rabbi Omer Ezu Derech Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam, Kol Shi Teferis Lo Seha, V'Teferis Lo Min Adam. What exactly is this? This is obviously the most ambiguous part of the Mishnah. In a way, the other parts, Habizar, B'mitzvah, Kala, Kibachamura, are very clear-cut. What's the challenge in them is to understand what seems to be said in a very simple and straightforward manner, and that is that there is no hierarchy in the value of mitzvos. It seems that the Mishnah is saying that, and the question is, how does that compare with all the other evidence that we have that there really is a hierarchy in mitzvah? So that we'll save for the next time, I guess. Essen and Lavin and, you know, different onshim levels. We discussed that once also way back. Maybe in Antigonus Sochot came up. But basically, that's the challenge. But we understand exactly what the statement, we seem to understand what the statement says. Evezar bekala kebechamura, meaning don't differentiate between them, or at least treat the kal as chamur as you would treat the chamur. Doesn't mean that there's no difference, but at least treat them the same. But the first part of this Mishnah is really very intriguing. Just hard to translate it. The words that are used, some of them seem to be superfluous, and others are just, let's say, difficult to define. Ezu derech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. So again, if you look at the Medrash Shmuel, this is highlighted right at the beginning. He says several things. Number one, how come all this verbosity? Why not to say Ezi Derech Yishara or Ezi Derech Sheyavar Lo Adam? Yes, a more important question to begin with, and that is, what do you mean? It sounds like a man has choices and he can choose his path. So Yesh L'dayek, my kamar Ezi Derech Yishara Sheyavar Lo. Kiilu biad ha'adam lavor lo derech kirtzona v'cheftzo ve'ein ochein sharei ha'torah hidrichaseinu b'derech ha'yishara ve'ein lanu yishara mimeno d'chsiv ki yisharim darkei Hashem. So what's this select, you know, the way, the straight way, the way which is teferes lo seha, teferes lo min adam, What? Why is this necessary? Why isn't this simply redundant? The Torah says, "Ubacharta v'chayim, ubachu kol sai teleichu." Torah says, Torah tells us already what to do. So why this whole opening? The Omer hodata l'misaderech yelchuba esamasa esher yasun. So if the Torah has already charted our path, why is the Mishnah telling us to select according to the following criterion, namely teferes lo min adam, teferes lo se? Va'ot. Shahaya dai shiomar izuhi derech yishara, v'yodea nishima sheishmianu hi yishara, hi kadei sheyivar osa adam. Right? O yomar izuhi derech sheyavar lo adam, v'pashatu shebi yishara madrich osanu v'lo ba'akuma. Right? Does the Rebbeinu Shalom want us to, does the halakha want us to go on a twisted path? V'ein tzorech l'milas yishara. V'od lama bach chatzi amamer b'loshen nistar, sheyavar lo adam. Kol shi teferes lo oseh, but teferes lo min adam. V'chetzi ba b'losho nochach, have a zayir, she'en ata yodea, and so on. The question that we raised before, namely the contrast between the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah is very stark. I mean, what is all this mystery? It's almost, you know, formulated in intentionally ambiguous and challenging way. So what exactly is being stated by Rebbe? And why is it stated in this way that is so shrouded in difficulty? So the truth is that there are some mefarshim who understand the Mishnah as not saying so much. I mean, they answer some of the questions, and others ignore these questions completely, implicitly. Rashi, for example, does contribute to the discussion, what is Oseha? Again, is it man or is it man's maker? Rashi says, Kol shi teferes lo oseh, shenoach lo v'hanoah v'gam b'nei adam nochen himenu. Nusach acher la'oseh l'misha oseh oso. Tosef is gilyan, kol shi teferes lo oseh. But basically, what is the focus of the Mishnah according to Rashi? Kol derech shi hinochev v'teferes l'misha oseh oso, la'oseh derech yivra ha'adam, shalakol ha'olam hi yishara, deim lecha dover dvar aveira, shiyasa adam, shalo yischarit bo v'yomar b'liba ma'asisi, v'yesh l'boshes mi b'nei adam, so according to Rashi, basically this Mishnah is merely telling you what Medrash Shmuel's question, you know, thought it was telling us, which is why he asked the question. And that is, you know, you should go b'derech haTorah, you should do mitzvos, you should avoid averos. It's just adding an additional explanation, and that is, you do so, or the benefit, like we'll call it the fringe benefit of doing so, you do so because it's a tzivui me'Hashem, and that should be enough. But in addition, if you want to know also what's going to bring you not only the Ribbono Shel Olam's and your own pleasure, but also praise and honor from other people, it's always going to be averos. It's always going to be mitzvos and not averos, because people do averos are bosh bidei adam. So it's just a very good, it's a reinforcement of the advantages of going b'derech haTorah. That's Rashi, seems to be Rashi's reading of the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't relate to Rashi, but I probably didn't like this interpretation, because again, it doesn't, for the reasons that we just raised before, it doesn't really justify a separate Mishnah. I mean, what is it that the Mishnah is really telling us that we don't already know? Except, you know, to bring to our attention that there are fringe benefits, they say, to behaving in a certain way. There are other rewards. So Ben Yonah wants to take this away from the realm, I guess, of the objective chiyuv or tzivui, the mitzvah. But you have to explain what this derech is and how it adds or contributes. So Ben Yonah says that it relates to the personal elements in the performance of a mitzvah, the subjective elements in the performance of a mitzvah. For example, whether you do it bizrizin, bi'ito, Ben Yonah says, Behasos mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu mifuar bahen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mifuar bahen, behen tiferes lo seyem, ki tifarto, mean tiferes Hashem, hi tiferes amitas b'nei adam, v'chein yivro le'atzma haderech ahu, v'tiferes lo min adam shiyasa mitzvos bizmanon shenemar v'davar bi'ito matov ki chalasos bizmanon Shelo yishar b'nei abrios, and so on. Okay, that's one. And what is the Teferis lo min ha'adam? So that refers to hidur mitzvah. Gam tzarech liyisnos b'mitzvos lulav na'a, talis na'a, sefer Torah na'a, tefillin, kiyotza b'hen, binin sheyifaru b'nei adam, v'yishabchu aleihem. So these are the midos that are referred to in this Mishnah. That's already an interesting pshat. So basically, the way to read the Mishnah according to this pshat and Rabbeinu Yonah is Ezu derech ishara sheyavar lo ha'adam, to the extent, and again, it answers implicitly the question that Medrash Shmuel asks. What do you mean? It sounds like a personal choice here. There's no personal choice. We have charted out for us a clear path. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. The answer is, it's the method of implementing and performing mitzvahs. To the extent that there are subjective elements, right, you should try to, I guess, reflect your enthusiasm in the actual performance itself. That's hidur mitzvah, zekein levanveyu, snar lefanav mitzvos, and that is zrizin makdimim, again, be'itam ubizmanam. That's the view of Rabbeinu Yonah. Others, particularly some of the later Achronim, see that this argue that this Mishnah is talking about something totally, totally different. It has to do with a man's assessment of his own performance as an Oved Hashem. That's not the fringe benefits of being an Oved Hashem. It's not the subjective elements, dimensions that you can bring personally to the act of the mitzvah. It has to do with assessing your own performance. When you assess your own performance, how do you do that? After all, people tend to, be very expansive and liberal in assessing their own behavior, right? Very flexible. It's when they look at other people that they look critically. So many of the Farshim say that's the pshat of this Mishnah. Ezu derech yishara sheavar lo ha'adam kol shi teferes le'oseha v'teferes lo min ha'adam, which means different things according to different mefarshim. Okay, some suggest that it's a kind of v'yisim nekiyim when you want to assess whether or not you should behave in a certain way or whether or not you accomplished a certain avodas Hashem properly or not. There are two things to look at. One is to look at the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is he happy with you? Did you perform the mitzvah punctiliously and scrupulously? That's one issue. And the other is, were you mekadesh shem shamayim? Did you also do it in such a way, b'yisim nekiyim, that other people didn't get the wrong impression? There was no marasayin, there was no suspicion that somehow you were profiting in the process, b'yisim nekiyim. But again, your assessment includes both of these elements. One could have thought that, what approval, what endorsement do you require beyond that of the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he's happy with you, if it's Teferes Lo Min Oseha. So what could be wrong? Kamash Malon, Ribbono Shel Olam himself wants that, your actions have impact, and he wants them to be Teferes Lo Lo Seha, but Teferes Lo Min Ha'adam. That's the way some of the Mefarshim explain. Others explain in a slightly different way. Chaim Ivelajin in the Ruach HaChaim here says basically one should assess one's own behavior the way that one assesses other people's behavior. That's kind of a twist on the Mishnah. I don't know if it really means this b'derech ha'pshat. Ezu derech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. When you want to assess your own actions, kol shi teferes lo seha, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Would you, if you were witnessing somebody else's behavior, somebody else's conduct, would you be critical or would you be laudatory? That's the real question. He says that's what it means when the pasuk says kamayim apanim lepanim kein lev ha'adam la'adam hinei yadua kikol haposel b'mumo posel v'chimishu zach levav lo yagish klal aremas v'chatae abrios. People who are naive, because they themselves are idealistic, so they don't see other people's blemishes that easily either. On the other hand, people who have their own flaws, their own chesronos, are super hyper critical of others. Achmishu ba'atzmo kenya rimu muluchlach b'chataim hu margish miyad b'chavero ha'osa kemaseyu v'kares p'shay chavero k'mo mare milutash, like a mirror, like a polished mirror. Right? Ha'mare l'adam tzura k'tzura so. So the idea of the Mishnah is, if you want to assess your behavior, look in the mirror and pretend that you're looking at somebody else. Tiferes lo seyu, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. And that's the pshat. It's very well known. Other people say it. Kol ha'negoyim adam roeh chutz minigei atzmo, al derech ha'melitza, kol ha'negoyim shel chavero, adam roeh u'mevazeo al zeh. Ach ein ha'roeh dei zeh nigei atzmo. V'lachein hizir atana, yir al atzmo k'misha roeh al chavero. Came nearly. V'zeh amaro, ezu derech ishara, kol shi tiferes, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam, shiyumod, kol ofanei in yanav, k'mo sh'roeh mizdameh, al chavero v'yodun mizeh al atzmo. So this, according to Rabbi Chaim Ivelazhin, is a mechanism of self-assessment. A mechanism of self-assessment is pretend you're a detached observer analyzing somebody else's conduct. Others say different things, similar things. The Torah Tamima in his Perush Shabar Shamar says, you know, one would have thought that, again, it's a similar idea. One should assess one's own behavior as objectively as possible. Pasuk in Mishlei says, however, that kol derech ish yashar beinav, people have a tendency to justify their own behavior. And therefore, you have to, you know, integrate another pasuk in Mishlei, and that's what this meaning, that's what this Mishnah really means. The pasuk also says in Mishlei that, Perek Chav Zayin, yihalucha zar velo picha, let other people praise you and not yourself. So that's again, kol shehi tiferes laoseha. That's the pasuk of kol derech ish yashar beinav. V'tiferes lo min adam. See yourself as others. Let others be the. That's different than what the Ruach HaChaim said. Ruach HaChaim said, assess yourself as you would assess others. Now the Baruch Shamar is saying, assess yourselves as others assess you. That's a parallel, but, you know, in the opposite direction. But we get the, I think we get the general idea. The Mefarshim point out that Rebbe used this expression before, Ezo hi derech yishara, shiavar lo hadam, in Masechet Tamid. But there, he says, Ezo derech yishara, shiavar lo hadam, yehov es atochachos. So actually in the... again, in the parish of the Torah Tima, he says, you know, you can't imagine anything more opposite than, you know, what it says in this Mishnah and what it says, what Rebbe says in the Mishnah in Tamid. So it seems like they're totally different things. And maybe he said one when he was younger and the other when he was older. He said, but if you change your mind in a matter of halacha, he said, that's a serious problem if you're interpreting the same makaros. But here, you know, you can always say, Eilu ve'eilu divra lekim chayim, but they have nothing to do one with the other. That's mostly his assessment. However, obviously, if you take one of these other interpretations, that basically the Mishnah is giving you a strategy about how to, you know, make decisions, how to assess your own behavior, right? To pretend that you're observing someone else, to see yourself as others see you, right? If this is really the issue, it's about you know, obviating, you know, self-aggrandizement and self-promotion, or even just, you know, sincerely, you know, too much of a justified stance or posture. So then, what Rebbe says in Masechet Tamid, Ezu derech shiyavar lo ha'adam yehov v'satochachos, is right in line. Basically, it's two sides of the same coin. It's saying the same thing. Yehov v'satochachos is a way of being self-critical, of introspection, right, to check your behavior, to check your behavior. So I think this is the approach of many of the Mefarshim. He does have another suggestion, not connected to this, but I think that is very, very nice, and that is, basically, the Mishnah is trying to tell us something else, and that is, how do you find favor in the eyes of both the Rabbanu Sholem and men, right? If you want a derech yishara shiyavar lo ha'adam, kol shi teferis lo seha, v'tiferes lo ben adam, on the surface, you're going to have a difficult time, because pleasing Kadosh Baruch Hu and pleasing your neighbor are on the surface quite different challenges. Right? To please the Rabbanu Shalom, you have to be a mitzvah, and you have to exhibit, you know, that level of Yiras Shamayim, you know, and Hachna'a. You have to be self-effacing. You have to be Batel Ritzoncha Lirtzono. Mishnah later on, the second parak. To please your neighbor, right, you have to be much more jovial and sociable, and you have to somehow find a, you know, meeting of minds with him. And, you know, he might have all sorts of views. So how do you accomplish that task of being, you know, both a Me'urav Bein HaBrios on the one hand and a you know, proper Oved Hashem on the other? So again, some of the Mefarshim explain that it all starts off with integrity. This, I think, is a very important principle. I'm not sure if this is the Pshat in the Mishnah, but the good thing about learning Masechet Avos, and the reason I'm exposing you to a range of views, not because necessarily I think that each one is the best Pshat in the Mishnah, but all these ideas, of course, are important ideas. They're important for a range of things, but they're all important. So I think the idea that he tries to develop is that when you start with Tiferes Oseha, then you end up with Tiferes Lo Mina Adam. That's when a person tries to project chen, you know, and to be congenial and to be jovial and to be sociable, and he does so by, you know, appealing to the largest common or the lowest common denominator. In the end of the day, not only has he sacrificed too much of Tiferes Lo Mina Oseha, the Ribono Shel Olam, and himself, but it's quite possible that in the end of the day, he hasn't really effectively accomplished Tiferes Lo Min HaAdam either. Again, Mashal Amad Amar Dome, again, I was here a couple of years ago on Shabbos Parshas Noach. I come a lot on Parshas Noach, I'm not sure why, but maybe because it rains usually also. But so I spoke then, tried to speak then about the, you know, the Dor HaFlaga and the idea of the Binyan of the Migdal. And I tried to explain that, I think, at least according to many views in Chazal, that the common bond between man and that generation was based on lowest common denominator. On the surface, it seemed like an admirable idea, right? People, uniting, common cause, hard work, right, supporting one another. But if you look very carefully at the psukim, and certainly the way Chazal developed it after that, the Dvarim Achadim, it sounds like basically this was the lowest common denominator. Basically, each person had a different ideology. It's not that the ideology didn't get in the way of common activity or the bond or the the interaction between them. That would actually be a positive. That would be a constructive posture. But in fact, it was exactly the opposite. Each one had a different purpose in mind. But it was good for all of them that they joined in this common pursuit. And in that sense, they used unity, or they almost like exploited unity, in order to dilute their ideology. In a way, it was a very pragmatic and ended up being a very cynical kind of unity. I think that's a very dramatic example of it, obviously, and it required haflaga, because the haflaga basically reflected what was really true anyway, namely that the common hand that they developed was really false. But this is an issue, I think, that comes up all the time. Right? We want to reach out to other people. We want to have relationships with them. And sometimes you have to, you know, lower the bar, and you have to appeal to a lower common denominator, you know, when you do that. And in some cases, it's the right thing to do. But you have to be very careful to preserve your integrity. and then the person who you are, because you don't want to relate to them, you know, only, you know, in the most diluted way, in the way which is, you know, least expressive of who you really are. What you really want to do is you want to develop a honest and meaningful connection and relationship with them based on the strength of your personality. So as a tactic, in some cases even as a longer-term strategy, you may not want to overpower people or, you know, or impose upon them your values right at the beginning, or, you know, the method of how you relate to them might be different. But in the end, you also don't want to camouflage who you are. It would be improper. It would be a lack of personal integrity. And in the end, it would make less significant any interaction that you have as well. So one of the Mefarshim explains here that basically what we're saying is, if you have Tiferes Laoseha, then you'll have Tiferes Lo Mina Adam. In the end, if you stay true to, you know, whether it's Bein Adam LaMakom or Bein Adam LiAtzmo, and you are who you are, of course, you know, finding a way to reach out to other people, in the end, that will bring you the closest possible meaningful, yet meaningful, bond with them. In terms of, you know, simply the intrinsic value of the relationship that you share with them, as well as the possibility of influencing and impacting upon them. And I think that this is true. I think it's been proven time and again that people who behave with integrity, people who are in the workplace tell me this all the time, that the, you know, with, you know, from Jews who are, you know, working in offices and so on, that the ones who, you know, who try to, you know, be one of the guys, you know, there are all sorts of social pressures, obviously, in these situations, which is, you know, why people have to consider seriously career choices and so on. But social pressures, you know, can be handled in different ways. There are people who, again, appeal to the lowest common denominator, and they may feel uncomfortable, and they may even be totally sincere, and they may be, you know, motivated by Kiddush Hashem, by developing connections with people. And nonetheless, sometimes they're put in a position where, you know, they have to dilute their own values. And what I'm told is that, generally speaking, there's much greater respect for those people, not who are austere and refuse to develop relationships, but who do so on terms that are consistent, really, with their own personal standards. And if people know you only eat kosher, and people know you don't speak in a certain way, and that you find certain language offensive, again, you may not be able to or be responsible to instruct people of that every minute, but, you know, through your body language and other things, it can be clear to people that you find certain things offensive. The real impactful relationships are the ones that begin with Tiferes Lo Mina Oseha, and on that basis are Tiferes Lo Mina Adam. And I think that's it's true and it's right, both. However, having said all of that, these are some of the Perushim on this Mishnah, which are very important. I'd like to suggest something a little bit different, and that is along the lines of the Rambam. The Rambam here doesn't say very much, but what he does say is important, as always. Mevuar, he says, Shederach Hayishara hi apu'ulos hatovos asher biarnu b'perek revi v'hem mehamalos hamemutzaos v'pnei shebehem yikne ha'adam l'nafsho tchuna chashuva v'yem min hago tovim b'nei adam v'huamaro tiferes lo seh v'tiferes lo min adam. Okay, so what does that mean? Basically, what the Rambam says here is that we want you to develop tchunos, through your pu'ulos tovos, we want you to develop malos mimutzaos, which you should be konel and afshecha, which are going to be tchuna chashuva. What does that mean? So he refers to what he wrote in Perek Dalet. What does Perek Dalet mean? In Shmona Prakim, which is the Rambam's hakdama to Avos, the Rambam speaks about something that is relevant to this principle. What is Perek Dalet? Perek Dalet is Berufuas Chole HaNefesh. And that's where the Rambam, of course, in Shmona Prakim, develops what he also develops in Mishnah Torah, one of the themes of the Rambam, the golden mean, it's sometimes called, the Derech HaMimutza. Right, here the Rambam explains that there's a certain methodology to living, which is, of course, identical with the methodology of being an Oved Hashem. And that is a person who pursues what he calls the Derech HaMemutza, the golden path, the Derech HaMelech. Which means, basically, and the Rambam, if you read the whole, I won't read it now because I almost don't have any time left anyway, but if you read this whole fourth section of Shmona Prakim, so it can be demonstrated beyond any question, that the Rambam is telling us not only what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to assess your behavior, but the Rambam is telling us that there is a method, right? There is an approach to Avodas Hashem that is separate from the content. There's the, you know, the execution, and there's the methodology. And I think that is the best objective perush of the Mishnah, and it answers the questions that were raised. Namely, doesn't the Torah already tell us do this and don't do that? So we had several answers already. And why Derech Yishara and Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam both? And why this complicated formulation? Are we just talking about performance of mitzvos, like Rashi, or maybe the subjective components, like Rabbeinu Yonah? So why the bulky language? The Rambam is basically telling us that there are really two separate issues. One is what you're supposed to do, and the other is the method that you're supposed to use. Now, the Rambam's own view is that, in a way, the cultivating a certain derech isn't just also a method of implementing, and it's not just a separate, but it actually is the goal. In fact, we do many mitzvos in order to cultivate the derech yeshara sheyavar lo ha'adam, which is teferes lo oseha v'teferes lo min ha'adam, what the Rambam calls the derech hamimutza. And the Rambam goes on to explain this derech hamimutza, that, you know, either extreme is a problem, and he explains it in all sorts of different midos. Sometimes when you find yourself, as all people do, nobody's in perfect balance. So if you find yourself in, you know, a little bit excessively drawn, you know, to one side over that or the other, you have to compensate, and that's why there are mitzvos that allow you to compensate. But hamasim atovim heimaisim ashavim amutzaim bein shtei ktzavot shashteim ra ha'echad tosefes hashenis chisaron. It's the exact language that he was being merames, so you just wouldn't know what he was talking about alone if you only read Pirushim Shnayis Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. I should add that Rabbeinu Yonah actually elaborates on behalf of the Rambam a little bit, that it's a reference to this. But what comes clear, he gives all the examples, passion and reticence voluntarism and every mida that you can imagine, anger, shiflus, he discusses all of these things as he does in Mishnah Torah. But he makes it perfectly clear that many of the mitzvos themselves are intended to cultivate this kind of ideal personality. So it isn't just even two dinim, the mitzvos and the method, it's the method that is partly cultivated through or by means of the mitzvahs themselves. In a sense, the mitzvahs become, in addition to intrinsic acts of Avodas Hashem, also a vehicle towards shaping the religious personality. And that's really what the Rambam is talking about. And that's why the perek is called Refuas Chole HaNefesh. It's about, you know, the health of the religious personality. So actually, relevant to what we've been discussing, the Rambam has this whole discussion. I'm not going to read it because my time's almost up for today. But then in the end, he says, "L'chachamim b'zah ha'inyan, davar lo shamati klal yoser nifla mimen." Wow, right? Chachamim say something here that is shocking or astonishing, more so than anything else, right? Davar shelo shamati klal yoser nifla mimen. What's it going to be? Obviously, something having to do with Masechet Chulin, right? Vahu bigamara d'bnei marava b'perek test in the darim, right? Davar bignus hamikablin alatzman shvuos unedarim ad sheisharu ke'eni surim Our Yerushalmi in Perek Tes, Halakha Aleph, quoted by the Ran in the Darim on Chav Beis Amin Aleph. Amar Shom Bezeh Alashon, Amar Rav Idi B'Shem Rav Yitzchak, Lo Da Yachov Nesha Asra Torah? But again, for the Rambam, it isn't just about, you know, denying yourself Hana or Mutaros. It's about exactly what we've been discussing, this fragile, precarious balance that is a function not of mediocre compromise, but incredibly idealistic ambition. The Rambam quotes that Yerushalmi and that idea in the context of the Derech HaMimutza, that perfect ideal balance. Unless you need, like medically, you need to overcompensate in order to get you back in the middle. But if you read it again, it's perfectly clear that the mitzvos themselves are intended to accomplish this on your behalf. I would just say, in light of that, in light of the Rambam's interpretation, that's why it's derech sheyavar lo ha'adam. Right, that's why there's some flexibility here. There's flexibility because of that need to compensate. Of course, even given the Rambam's derech ha'mimutza, as I've said in the past, in order to ensure that we're not talking about a kind of mediocre concession, you know, to various midos, but an ambitious and idealistic expression is at root of the balance. So you have to have times, and you have to have mitzvos, you have to have halakhic institutions that express sometimes the extremes. The Rambam again mostly formulates this in terms of bringing you back to the center, and as you know, the Kolei Nefesh. But I think that this is a very good way to understand Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaZman and Karbanos and various other institutions of halakha, where we accentuate different extremes at a particular point in time. Again, tomorrow we're going to speak in Yirtzeh Hashem about the idea of Tahara. And I spoke about it before Yom Kippur. I just want to elaborate a little more tomorrow about it. But the same, you know, kind of idea. It's not proper for a person, according to the Rambam, to be Tahar all year round. There's no Kiyum in it. Not necessarily because there's no Kiyum, but maybe because it comes at such a steep price in terms of being Mu'ura Ben Abrios, you know, and so on, that, you know, it kind of loses, it neutralizes its value. The risk takes away from the benefit. And in some cases, it isn't just the risk and the benefit in this case, it's the, you know, it's the pros and the cons. Create a kind of neutrality. What you're giving up is equaled by what you're accomplishing. But therefore, there are times in the year, maybe, or particular circumstances, when you have the opportunity to enthusiastically embrace the idea of Tahara, where you do so and where it becomes very important. That's also part of the balance. The balance is really made up of two different themes. It's the Derech HaMumutza, which is the general norm for mitzvos, the Derech Sheyavar Lo HaAdam, which is Teferis Lo Seh and Teferis Lo Min Adam, balancing all the various elements. But at the same time, it's also expressed in those opportunities to highlight a particular, the Yom Kippur, the Sukkos, the Ola, the Asham, whatever the institutions are, to accentuate those. In the Derech of the Rambam, I would just add a little bit. In light of the Rambam's reading of the Mishnah, perhaps one can just, you know, take a bit of a turn. Instead of seeing it as specifically the Derech HaMimutza, I think it's just very telling. Again, one of the Mefarshim, I think, no, actually the Torah Tamima asked the question. He says, isn't it strange that the Mishnah just gives kind of general guidelines, right? Ezu Derech Yeshara sheyavar lo ha'adam, right? Teferis lo sed, teferis lo min adam. Shouldn't it be telling us more specifically, you know, what we should be doing? There's a certain mentality that underlies the question. But he says, well, it's only, you know, lahodia, not latzavos, it's not a hurrah here. he's bothered by it. I actually thought when I always read this Mishnah that that's the biggest chiddush of the Mishnah of all. And especially if you just go a little bit, if you stop a little bit before the Rambam. Namely, what the Mishnah is telling us is that there really are two different dinim. And not even as far as the Rambam, who says that sometimes mitzvos are the vehicle to develop, you know, this derech. But rather, the Mishnah is telling us that there is the tochen of mitzvos, and there's the derech of asiyas mitzvos. And we're being told that even when you implement specific mitzvos, forget about the impact of the mitzvah upon you, or it being, you know, kind of balanced out by its polar opposite, or whatever the case may be. There's a certain derech that a person should have in Avodas Hashem. And it's not simply, you know, like the question, which is, well, you're supposed to do things, so you do them. You know, end of story. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And one should give thought as to his niche and his derech in Avodas Hashem. And what we're being told in that respect is, number one, that it has to be sheyavor. There is a certain flexibility. That different people have different personality traits. We're all mechuyev in the same tarayag mitzvos, except for, you know, kohanim and so on. But the general rule, obviously, is mishpat echad yielachem. But everybody has, you know, their own personality, their own strengths, and their own experiences, you know, to bring to the performance. So everybody has a different niche, a little different twist on what it is that he can accomplish. Again, the Marshal says that the 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, each received the Torah a little bit differently. They all received the same Torah, Mishpat Echad Yielachem, but each one received it in a slightly different way. And that's a strength. And one is supposed to bring that to your avoda. So it's Ezu Derech Yeshara. It has to be Yeshara, meaning it can't be twisted by your personal experiences or your inclinations or propensities. It has to be Yeshara. But it's Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam. And it has to be calculated. Kol Shu Teferes Lo Seha V'Teferes Lo Min Adam. The Mid of Teferes, splendor or however it's supposed to be translated, glory, is of course the midah that we associate with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechira Avos, he's Yisrael. Number one, he's Yisrael because Kisarisa Malakim V'ima Nashim V'Tuchal. Right? He was equally successful, you know, with the Rabbeinu Sholem and with people. Tiferes Lo Leoseha, right, in both senses. The truth is that Yaakov Avinu's greatness was threefold. Right, there was his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, his relationship with other people, and also there was his personal integrity. Right, that we see again and again in the case of Yaakov Avinu. Right, he's hard on himself. You know, he acknowledges his need to grow and his flaws of the past. Right, Vanochi lo yadati. That's who Yaakov Avinu is, and that's why he's Yisrael. Kisariso malakim v'nashim v'tuchal. He's Teferes Lo Tzeha, but Teferes Lo Min Adam. And he has the most wide-ranging responses of any of the Avos, of any of the Avos. That's why he's the Bechira Avos. In a sense, Yaakov is the grandson of Avram and the son of Yitzchak both, but he's more than the combination of the both. And that's what Chazal say, the Midah of Teferes, which is Yaakov's Midah, is this, you know, glorious melding of blending of Avram and Yitzchak, which is more than the sum of the parts, which is why he is Yisrael. He's the head of the Shvatim, or the father of the Shvatim. So what we're being told is that a person also has to bring kiyavor. He has to be think very carefully. He has some element of flexibility and choice, but it's about being borer, meaning you have to be careful what you take and what you don't take. Something like Boran Shabbos, it's a malachas machshavas. You have to reflect upon your particular derech. It has to be yeshara, even though it's teferes. In other words, if you want to combine too many things, kisarisa malakim v'nashim v'tuchal, you may end up taking a zigzag, you know, path through life. You know, a little anashim, a little rabbonu sholem, a little atzmo. It goes back to what I said before, which, whether it is or isn't pshat in the Mishnah, I think is still a truism. And that is, Tiferes Lo Seha, in both of its meanings, becomes the foundation, of course, also considering the potential to begin with, of Teferis Lo Mina Adam. So it has to be Yeshara in that sense too. It has to be Teferis, but it has to be a straight path, integrated, not mediocre, again, ambitious, but straight path Teferis. And if that's the case, then the derech that you employ in your Avodas Hashem becomes a tremendous koach to elevate and to enhance the mitzvos that you perform. In that sense, Rabbeinu Yonah's idea of the subjective elements of zman and hidur, etc., integrate nicely into this idea. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll speak a little bit more about this next time, and then we'll try to go on. I'll try not to keep more than one theme a week, so we'll speak about Kalos and Chaburos mostly next week.